This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, Jennifer Wahab. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being on here with us today. Our listeners are going to have a treat today. So just a little bio on Jennifer. So Jennifer Wahab has been a real estate professional for more than 11 years, specializing in the Katy and West Houston markets. Born and raised in Lubbock, Texas, and a graduate of Texas Tech University with a music degree, Jennifer quickly began making a name for herself in the real estate and hasn't looked back. She manages 7 agents as a leader of the Jennifer Wahab team with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, Gary Green. In 2014, Jennifer was honored as a 20 under 40 rising star in real estate by Houston Association of Realtors. In 2017, she was named as one of the 11 realtors to watch by Texas Realtors. Jennifer has been designated as a 5-star realtor by Texas Magazine for 5 straight years and is a Platinum Award recipient for Better Homes and Gardens, ranking her in her top 1% of agents in the national brand. Jennifer is regarded as a thought leader and throughout the real estate industry and is frequently interviewed by Houston area media about local housing trends. Jennifer also serves as a feature writer for Realtor.com and currently serves on the chair for the Houston Association of Realtors. When Jennifer isn't assisting real estate clients and giving media interviews, she enjoys spending time with her husband, Todd, and their 2 daughters, Ella and Ava. Jennifer, again, thanks for joining us. I know you and I were on a real estate panel earlier this year talking about the real estate market, and here we are again 6 months later talking about the real estate market. So,
you know what? I never get sick of talking about it, and there's always something new to talk about. So.
And that's why we're here. So we want to kind of, actually, why don't you start by giving us more of a background on yourself? You started going to college with a music degree. How did you end up in real estate?
Yeah, not really using that music degree so much, like many music majors out there.
I see the piano in the background, though. So, right? Do you still play the piano?
I do sometimes. Yeah. I'll dabble a little bit. Nowadays, my only like music performances really come after a couple of cocktails. There's a karaoke bar nearby.
Yeah. I would love to hear that.
of what me using my music degree, but so came out of college. Was actually a middle school choir teacher.
Wow.
For 6 years, and quit to stay home when we had our first daughter. We moved to Houston for my husband's job. I didn't know anybody. Was actually pregnant with my 2nd daughter, and ignorance is bliss. I thought that's a great time to get my real estate license. So got my license when we moved here to Houston in 2010 and started with the same brokerage I'm with now. I've been in the same office the whole time, started out as a solo agent. And then over the years, as business grew, decided I wanted to form a team. So now I'm the team leader of the Jennifer Wahab team. I didn't get very creative with the team name, which you can see. And right now there's 7 of us. So hopefully there's going to be a few more by the end of the year. We're looking to keep growing and just really found something I loved in real estate and very passionate about it. Given a lot of my extra time to it, volunteer time, like you mentioned, serving the association in different ways. And I think this is it. I don't think I'll ever be doing anything else.
Awesome.
That's great.
So I always feel like being an agent and a broker is like a demanding on yourself. How do you balance? I know this wasn't in the question, but I was just thinking, like, how do you balance a family and kids? How do you yourself balance between, you know, sellers and buyers calling all the time and weekends? And how do you kind of manage that as a realtor?
You know, it's something that I talk to other agents about because burnout is a very real thing in our industry. Mm-hmm. We don't have a normal 9-to-5 job. We're on evenings, weekends. I get texts from clients all the time at 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, nobody would text their doctor at 10 o'clock at night, you know, unless it was an emergency. But there's just something about that relationship when you're going through it, when you're buying or selling a home, it's intense. It's a big process. And you get really close with your clients and they basically feel like they're your best friend and they text and call you all the time, which is great. I love that part about it, but you kind of also feel like you're just on a hamster wheel, you mm-hmm. know, a 100% commission job. You got to keep every time a sale closes, you got to keep earning that next one. And so I think for agents, you really have to set boundaries and separate work time from non-work time. Yep. So I've gotten better as I progressed in my career about, I set my schedule every morning. Like when it's time to work, I work. Like I knock out a lot of stuff and then I take little breaks throughout the day and I intentionally do not work during those times. I really try to stop around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And unless it's an emergency, you know, a client really need, I'll get back. If a client sends me a text, I'll text them back, but I'm not actively working in the evening so I could spend time with my girls. And I think it's also too kind of your mindset. Mm-hmm. I look at it, a lot of realtors work on vacation and I hear some of them complain about that. And I used to be a teacher, you know, I was trapped inside a building all day living by a bell schedule. I had no flexibility, no freedom. So to me, I have the mindset that, wow, like I can write a contract sitting on the beach in Mexico. Like, you know, I have the mindset that I get to do it, not that I have to do it. And yeah. I think that helps too, but you have to set aside time for yourself, take some days off. I'm very big on self-care.
Yeah.
Love me a massage and, you know, taking some time for myself. So I think you have to, otherwise this career will just burn you out.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job of managing it all. Cause I see you everywhere. I'm like, oh, she's mom. Oh wait, she's being a realtor. So you do a great job managing it all. So kudos to you. So let's talk a little bit about the Houston market now. And what are you currently seeing and what do you expect to see in the next 6 months?
Well, I think anybody who hasn't been living under a rock knows that we have had a real estate market that has basically been in hyperdrive. Mm-hmm. For about the last 2 years, ever since the pandemic started, we've had record low inventory, record high prices. Buyers have been duking it out in these multiple offer situations. And it's been crazy. And now everything I'm seeing is people are starting to freak out a little bit because we are starting to see the market shift. And I actually think this is a good thing. We could not keep it up at that hyperdrive pace for much longer. Right. So things are easing up a little. Like this, we are not going to have a crash. I know people are talking about recessions possibly coming. Housing typically still does well, even during a recession. So kind of right now, what I'm trying to educate my clients on is to stay calm. If you're a buyer, this is a good thing. If the market eases up a little bit, you're going to have a few more choices to choose from. If it's not as competitive, you can maybe get yourself some better terms because we were in such a strong seller's market. Buyers were having to do everything, you know, to make the sellers happy. If that slows down a little bit, that's better for you as a buyer. And then sellers, your home is still worth more than it's ever been. Wait, we still have record high prices.
Right.
So I do think there is a little bit of a shift going on, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you're right. And just keeping our clients calm. I think I've seen it more so in the last couple of weeks where just major panic, right? So you don't have to be drastic about it, right?
Yeah. Being on the chair of HR, what have you seen as far as like inventory levels? What's been the latest?
Do you have those numbers? Still really low. I think we've been under 2 months of inventory for a while now, but we are starting to see, I just actually got our snapshot today. So we do a weekly snapshot that we release to all the members of HAR, and active listings were up and new listings were up. So I think we're starting to see that inventory. It's going to take a while for those levels to climb back up, but I think we're going to start to see them creep back up some.
Do you feel prices are going to drop at all? Do you anticipate just...
So if you had the crystal ball. That's a big question. Everybody thinks, oh, if it slows down, that means, or I can't tell you how many times in the last year buyers have been like, no, we're going to wait. Prices are getting too high. We're going to wait for them to come back down. And I have to tell them, really don't think that that's going to be happening. Everything that I'm hearing, I listen to a lot of economists and I look at a lot of data for HAR because we're constantly talking about the market. They're predicting a slight decline in total sales this year, slight decline, like 3%. Yeah. But they are still predicting home prices to rise another 4% this year and another 5% next year. So that's almost 10% over the course of this year and next year put together. So I don't see prices coming down at all. I think this is, you know, we went up and up and up and now we're kind of leveling off and this is kind of the new normal. We're going to go back to that slower rate of appreciation that we would normally see in the residential market.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we agree with you 100%. Yeah. And so, yeah, and that's our assessment.
You
just
can
wanted,
tell me if you don't.
No. We just wanted the expert to back us on that. So,
We have a lot of...
Go ahead. One of the blessings in disguise of being the chair of HAR is I have to do all of the press and media inquiries. So I have to talk about the market 3 to 5 times a week, you know, whether it's with TV or print interviews or radio interviews. Right. So I have never been more well-versed in what's going on in the market than I have this year. So, but I think kind of goes back to being a teacher before. I really try to use that to educate clients. If they can understand what's going on, then they can make the best decisions for themselves. So I really kind of see that as our job in this very complex kind of crazy market is, you know, I'm your strategist. I'm here to give you all the data and all the info and talk you through the pros and cons and help you make the best decisions.
100%.
Yeah, we'll probably, we're going to want to share this with a lot of our clients because we have so many clients right now, and Joni's taking, because I office next to her, so I can hear all her calls, and it's just like one after another of like, there's a little bit of panic. They're just, they think, you know, it's going to fall off a cliff. It's going to be like even in 07 and 08, because Joni and I have been in this for 22 years, we really didn't see a huge, you know, dip in prices even in 7-8. Other parts of the country did, but Houston didn't. But the but that's what they're anticipating. And they're like this. Like,
I need to sell now. I need to sell now. Right.
Like, I mean, we had a client. She had a client yesterday that was like, he couldn't fathom like the tenant's moving out in August. And he was trying to like, how can we incentivize them to move out in July so he can get on the market? It's like, I don't think there's going to be a difference.
It's not going to make a big difference.
I think so. And I like using other resources out there. HAR is a great resource. Like I mentioned, we put out a lot of data and charts and lists every single week. But Keeping Current Matters, you just follow them on Instagram or some, they do a lot of really good infographics and real estate data. And they've had two recently, one showing the last six recessions and only in two of them did home prices decline. One of which was 08, which that was caused by.
Correct.
The reason we had a recession was due to real estate then. So there was only one other time that we were in a recession and home prices that dipped slightly. Every other one, they continued to increase. And then they released one, I think it was just today, saying, you know, this is not like the last crash. And they show the number of people with a credit score below 620 that own homes. And that number back in 2008 versus that number now was drastically different. So this is not a bubble. This is a supply and demand issue.
For sure.
And supply and demand issues don't crash and burn. They take a long time to kind of unwind themselves. So I don't think anything's changing anytime soon.
Yeah. Correct. That's a great resource. You said Keeping Current Matters?
Keeping Current Matters. And you can subscribe to them if you're an agent. They do a lot of really useful webinars and things like that. But even if you just follow them on social media, they post really helpful stuff. And I share it all the time. So I want people to see, it's not just me saying this, you know, this is what the data is out there showing.
I did say that one. The other time was like 1930, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
If you remember, you weren't alive in 1930.
No. But like, I remember the article about that. I think the other two times it dipped. But we obviously deal with investors, and that's who we sell to, and that's who we manage for. In your professional opinion, is now a good time to buy an investment property?
So I'll be totally honest, my investors that I work with this last year or two have not bought a lot because investors, your goal is to make money. You know, the reason is to buy, you're buying that property is for a profit. And when people are just willing to pay way over asking price and waive all these things just for investors, my opinion is it hasn't been a great market for investors the last 2 years. If things are starting to stabilize now, then I think that's a good thing for investors. Now they can get back in without having to compete with 20 other people on homes that are paying way over list price. I think if we normalize a little bit, then if you're looking for an investment property, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Cool. We've always made money on the down markets, right?
Yeah.
Good, made good decisions.
I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
At least on the normal market.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about, because you obviously run a pretty successful brokerage, right? And so give us some, you know, tips on building a successful brokerage and a sales team.
So I started my team, I guess it was about 4 years ago. I'd always kind of had a transaction coordinator, one girl with me that helped me with files, but that was it. And really made the decision about, 4 or 5 years ago now that I wanted to start growing a team. That meant hiring additional staff, bringing on other agents, you know, other people are selling under my name. And I guess the biggest things that I've learned is it took way longer than I thought. It was way harder than I thought it would be. You like take two steps forward and you feel really great. And then you get like sucker punched and you know, it's two steps back. And so really just kind of, it's one of those things that you have to keep your head down and just keep your goal in mind. Like what is the next step? What am I doing? You know, just right in front of you, because in our industry, especially, I just think comparison is a real problem.
Yeah.
You think you're doing great. And then you look at the agent next to you and they sold 10 million more than you. And it's so easy to get deflated,
right,
and feel bad about yourself. So I just early on decided I was just going to put on my blinders. I had my plan. I'm just going to focus on doing whatever the next step on my plan is. And then you look up one day and you go, oh, wait, look how far we came.
Yeah.
Even though at the time it just felt like a slog, you know, but I've really enjoyed it. Just the camaraderie, the culture of the team that we built. We have a great time together. I've discovered that I can do so much more when I bring others along with me, and I have help there. So I don't regret it one bit, and would highly encourage people to do it if that's something that they're interested in.
Awesome. Do you guys have like a training program that within your company, and do you do anything for your team to, I guess, to build them up and to help them with sales and coaching calls and stuff? Is there anything?
Yeah, so we're under the Better Homes and Gardens Gary Green franchise. And so we kind of have the benefit of all of their structured training that they provide. And then we do as a team do a lot of our own training as well. So we meet one-on-one once a month with my agents, just so we can talk about what's going on in their business and what they specifically need help with. We do team trainings pretty often. And kind of to your point, when you're asking about, you know, coaching and sales and things like that, I am still like an education junkie. Mm-hmm. I listen to podcasts all the time. I'm reading business books all the time. So I'm constantly learning new things, and then I want to go and share that with them. So I just think you always have to be sharpening the sword. There is always a new tool out there that you can add in your toolbox. And so we try to make sure that we talk every week. We have a quick little team meeting, and if there's any issues or things we need to just to discuss, then we do. But once a month for sure, we're getting together as a team and just talking about how can we up our game. I mean, you know, we've all been in real estate for mm-hmm. a while now. We know how the transaction works, but how can we do an even better job for our clients? How can we, our interpersonal skills, how can we get those even better? How can we learn what to say in this situation so we come off sounding more polished? Just, you can always be tweaking and fine tuning, I think, no matter how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So kind of give us, now that you're talking about that, how does your company kind of set itself apart from the competition out there? What do you guys do differently?
One thing that I think really sets us apart is we really care about our people. Once you are our client or you are like in our little tribe, we send you a gift once a month. We do client events all the time. That's my favorite part of my job, is then just like loving on our people, our clients that have used us before. So we're very much not a, you know, once the transaction's done, you never hear from us again, which according to stats from the National Association of Realtors, unfortunately is not common. Most people don't hear from their realtor after they close. And our philosophy is kind of, the closing is just the beginning of our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we're here for anything. Like just this morning, I had a client text me, my brother's having an issue with this lease, and I gave her some advice. Or we're thinking of remodeling our kitchen. Like, they're sending me pictures of their cabinets. What do you think? you know, I need a guy do you have a painter? We have a guy for everything, you know? So yeah. Anything you want to do to your house. So we want to be the resource for you now, because your home is your largest asset,
right?
You know? And so we are kind of like your advisors of that asset. So we really don't disappear. That's one of our favorite things, is it's a client's birthday, we send them cookies. We see it's their anniversary, we'll send them a bottle of champagne. We love spoiling the people that work with us, because we don't get to do what we get to do unless we have them, and we're just so grateful.
That's great. And I do see that. I actually saw the bag that you give to your clients after closing bag. I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. That would work for our tenants.
Have y'all ever done the love languages?
Yes, the five love languages. Uh-huh.
Okay. So yours, my love gifts? Language is gifts.
Yeah, I was going to say, yours is gifts. Sean and, is too.
it's very clear in the way I do business, because I'm very big on giving gifts throughout the process. So yes, we have a little goodie bag when we first meet you. We have a gift bag at closing. We have little things that we'll send you along the way, and then even far after closing. So I guess that's kind of, you do what you like, and I love gifts.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've also noticed that you have a pretty cool culture, company culture as well, which I think that's important in any organization. Like, what are some things that you do with your, you know, to create that culture?
One of the things when I started it, if you notice, if you look at our team right now, we are all women and just being a mom, I just kind of where's the place that I would want to work? Well, I would want to work in a place that supports me and also totally supports me being a mom and understands that sometimes I might have to bring my kids to the office with me or things like that. So I'm just trying to create an environment that's very supportive of working mothers. I really love supporting other women who are trying to earn an income outside of the household. So that was really important to me. And then I'm also not very serious. So that was a place that we can have fun and we can text, you know, memes to each other all day and communicate via GIFs in our team text. That was important to me too. I just thought, where would be my ideal place to work, and tried to create that environment. And you know what? Yes. You're going to attract the people who are a good fit for that. And that's not a good fit for everybody. And that's okay. I've come to realize that too. We're not for everyone. So I just want people that are kind of in that same, I'm very about no drama. Positivity, really supporting each other. And so I try to model that and try to attract women that I think also, and I men too, I hope to one day. we need some diversity on my team. But just, you know, I think those are the kind of people that I want to attract as well. And then when you attract the right people, then it's not so much work to keep that culture going. It's just right. Kind of there.
That's great. So one thing we ask all our guests is what's your next, Jennifer?
Oh gosh, wish I knew exactly what the answer to that is. I am just forever, I like novelty, I like change, I like things that are new. So I'm always kind of looking at the next thing. There's some programs out there that I want to get involved with in the real estate world. I still really enjoy serving on board, on committees. I do a lot of stuff for not just HAR, but also TAR and NAR. And I've got my feelers out to do some things there. So just want to keep, I love this job, but I also want to, I think you find meaning in your life whenever you're doing something that serves a purpose greater than yourself. And so I'm kind of always looking for ways that I can get involved and maybe give back in a way that doesn't just benefit my own business, but helps other people. I think that at the end of the day, when I retire many years from now, that I'll be able to look back on my career and feel satisfied if I did that. So that's what I'm always kind of got my eye out for.
That's cool. Great. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. We're going to see you probably speaking on a national
level. Yeah, I know. Right? Rock star here.
Somebody that's just starting out, like just got out of school or maybe a single mom or somebody that just had a baby and wants to get into the real estate career, what advice would you give them? How would you recommend they get started?
So I actually used to train our new agents back at my company 6 or 7 years ago. And one of the things that I tried to tell them was, this is a long game. That real estate is not I don't care what you see on TV, like it is not a get in and make millions of dollars quick type of thing. Like it is those first couple of years are the hardest.
Yeah.
And so many people get into this business and then get right back out within 2 years. The data, the numbers are crazy. The turnover is so high. And so I don't think I'm necessarily any smarter or more talented than anybody else. I just outlasted them. Mm-hmm. Said, I'm sticking with this, like no matter how hard it is, or if things are going my way or if they're not, like I'm going to keep doing this. So just kind of having that long-term mentality, then the business will start to come. Those first few years are going to be tough. It's a slog. You're going to hear no way more than you're going to hear the word yes. But if you will just stick it out, you start to get some deals under your belt and those people start to refer you and it kind of starts to snowball. And once you've been in the business a long time, like I have, it's so much easier now. My phone just rings, you know, people call me and say, hey, will you come list our house? But you've got to get through those tough years in order to get there. And most people don't, they give up too soon, I think. So you've got to be willing to stick with it.
Do you recommend that they either have a spouse that will pay cover their minimal expenses and then or at least the savings to cover 6 months a year or even keep a job and do it on burn the midnight oil and work evenings and weekends. What do you recommend?
Yeah, so that's another thing that causes people to get out of business too, is they don't realize how long they're going to have to go without a paycheck.
Right.
You know, even if you've got a client right out of the gate, by the time you find them a home and, you know, get to contract to close, you're usually a couple months out at least. And that's if you get somebody right off the bat. So I would see people financially not be prepared for what it takes to make it in this business. So you have to have a game plan together. You either have to have savings, you have to have another income in your household. just know you are going to go for a while without getting paid. And then when you start getting paid, you know, the earnings potential is great in this career. There is no ceiling. You can make as much as you want to make, but you have to be prepared in the beginning. So you need to figure out what that looks like for you and have a plan so you're not freaking out when you're 3 or 4 months in and you haven't had a paycheck.
Good point. Have a plan for sure. Awesome. Well, any books that you would recommend?
So I'm like I mentioned earlier, I still love to, I listen to audiobooks. I read stuff all the time. Some of my favorites would probably be, there's a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. Have you guys read that one?
Yeah, it's good.
I saw you both say yes. To me, that is like the quintessential. I want my daughters to read it. It's just really all about once you figure out that you can do anything, you know, you are not fixed in any certain thing. I think that one was so powerful. So I love that one. There's a great customer service book. I think it's called Excellence Wins. Mm. And it's written by one of the guys, like a Four Seasons or the Ritz, somewhere like that, you know, really, really high-end customer service, but just that customer service mentality you can take into any industry. So I was really a big fan of that one. And there's another book, it's called Fascinate. And it was about using, we all have kind of similar to the love languages. We all have a certain, I forget what she calls them, but kind of personality type, and businesses do too. She goes through brands that fit certain categories. And once you kind of figure out where you are, then it helps you understand how you need to market to people and what will work for you and your brand. So I thought that one was really interesting too.
Nice.
I'm super into like neuroscience and stuff. So I listen to podcasts all the time.
Cool.
Just goal setting. I was listening to a really interesting one on goal setting actually, and he was a neuroscientist. And this is something I learned that I just thought was really interesting. So it was on the science in your brain when you set goals, but something that he said, a lot of it wasn't shocking, you know, don't set a goal that's unattainable. You know, it needs to have a deadline. You need to have a plan. But one of the things they found when they did research was most people, they tell you to vision, like we do these vision boards, vision what it's going to be like when you get to your goal. They said that's actually not the most productive way to get to a goal. You actually need to envision failure. What will happen if you don't get to that goal? And when they did two studies side by side, the people that were constantly reminded of what failure would look like more than double met their goal, as opposed to people who were told to visualize what success will look like. So I thought that was really interesting.
Wow, that is
interesting. Instead of these like vision boards with cars and stuff on it, we need like a vision board for failure.
Yeah.
What's it gonna look like if you don't get up and make those phone calls every day or go to the gym? So I thought that was really interesting. I'm constantly learning about stuff like that and just trying to, you know, implement it into my business in any way that I can.
There's probably something to running away from something you don't want to.
That's exactly. Fear stronger. Is a bigger motivator, you know, than reward is, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So
well, I've learned some things.
Yeah. So how
there
can
you go.
So how can people get a hold of you if they're in the Houston market looking to buy a home, looking to sell a home? How can people reach out to you and work with you?
The best thing is when you're a realtor, you're very easy to find. If you just Google my name, my cell phone, my email, everything is out there everywhere. But welcome to visit our website, which is JenniferWahopTeam.com, or you Instagram, social media on there at JenniferWahop2. Either one, I'm always happy to get back to you.
Awesome. Do you do any frequent articles that for like HER that you post anywhere, or is it just on their site?
I've never been a good blogger. I've done a few articles for realtor.com. I really wish I was disciplined enough to write every single week, and I typically don't. But one of the nice things about the Houston area is I do get to speak a lot and be on a lot of panels, kind of like Joni and I were together and speak at conferences. So I'm always kind of out there sharing my two cents, whether anybody wants to hear it or not.
This was great, Jennifer. Thank you so much. I think there's a lot of value for all of our listeners out there and that are kind of on the fence or panicking maybe a little. And so thank you for your insight on the market.
No, thank you all for having me. I love that you do this. This is exactly the kind of thing that I listen to when I'm driving around in my car. And I think the best thing you can do is learn from other people. The minute you think you know it all, you're in trouble. So I love that y'all do this and are sharing this with everybody.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But like Joni said, I think our listeners got a ton of value, and we look to do more with you down the road. So
absolutely.
So anyways,
happy to, anytime.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, please share this. If you guys know anybody that's looking for a great realtor in the Houston market, all of Jennifer's info will be in the bio listed below. Otherwise, we'll see everybody next week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.